Next, Dr. Rochelle Dicker, who is a trauma surgeon at San Francisco General Hospital and an associate professor of surgery and anesthesia at UC San Francisco, is going to talk about data management and how do we count all the things that we're doing, which is a little bit tricky. So, Rochelle.
Thank you, Marlene, and thank you for the privilege of getting an opportunity to speak with you and the privilege of being up here with my colleagues and my friends. So, of course, data management isn't the most exciting and dynamic part of what we do, but it's absolutely necessary in order to address the stakeholders that we've been talking about this whole time, particularly funders. We need to record what we do. So I have nothing to disclose. There are database prototypes for us that we can look at when we're trying to design a database for violence prevention. The most popular one really is the National Trauma Data Bank. Over 400 trauma centers in North America are included in this. If you're a level one or a level two trauma center, you need to be included in this. And it assists with injury epidemiology, trauma performance improvement, and research. Even in the developing world now, we're developing data banks in different countries, and the World Health Organization has been behind this push. It really is the crux of trying to improve a trauma system and has helped a lot with developing our prevention programs. Then there's the National Violent Death Reporting System. 18 states have this going on right now, and there are some cities that do it sort of unofficially. And it has assisted in developing violence prevention programs also by cataloging the epidemiology, ethnicity, trends in violent injury. So really who our target population is going to be. And that's been very, very critical in designing our programs, is looking at the National Violent Death Reporting System. And the CDC has been behind both of these endeavors, particularly in their pilot stages, as have been our professional organizations in the emergency medicine groups and in trauma surgery. So just the context, the severity and disparity of homicide in our youth and young adults is still extremely obvious. It's the number one cause of death in young African Americans, and it's number two in Hispanics. 53 of 100,000 African Americans are subjected to this, and 20 per 100,000 Latinos, whereas 3 per 100,000 Caucasians. It's not normal and never should be tolerated in any of our neighborhoods and communities. So we think of violence as something that we can embrace as healthcare providers and public health professionals. And we look to the public health model, which now is really embedded in our practices. We've defined the problem, we've identified risks and protective factors, and along with my colleagues here and some of you out in the audience, particularly Ann Marks out there with Youth Alive, have been real leaders in violence prevention and violence intervention from a hospital-based standpoint. We've developed programs, but we also need to test these strategies and write them down on a larger scale so that we can sustain what we've developed and improve upon it. That's the only way we can make that jump to assure widespread adoption of these types of programs. And the wraparound project that we have in San Francisco is very much along the threads, and you'll see the common fabric of what we do. We look at the public health model for guidance. We seize that teachable moment when our young people are most vulnerable and want to look for change when they're in the hospital bed recovering from their injury. We look at our culturally competent case management for long-term follow-up, and we provide links to our absolutely extraordinary community-based organizations that provide risk reduction resources. And we do a fair amount of crisis intervention and home visits with that. Mental health has been a huge help for us as well, as my colleagues here have described. And it looks convoluted, but our particular program isn't any different in the context that you've heard already. So we take our most high-risk population for injury recidivism and do a risk assessment and provide resources that we have with our community partners. So the violence prevention database was something that we undertook understanding that we needed to sustain ourselves. We believed in what we did, but we needed to write it down. And this is just a picture of some of our graduates. We have a trip to Yosemite of some of our wraparound graduates every year, and this is one of them. This is one of our case managers, and here's another. The most important thing, I believe, in setting up a database is something that everybody is going to use. If the case managers are responsible for inputting the data, then they have to be involved in developing the database. Otherwise, it's just not going to be something that's going to be user-friendly for them, or something that they're going to be interested in really helping out with a lot of times. So we engaged our case managers, who were already busy enough, in the process, though, of developing our database. Those are the front-end users. Then the back-end users, we had to make it savvy for them as well. The quality assurance staff, the researchers, the case managers also, when they reflect back on the progress that they've made with clients, and our community partners. So much like what Ted Corbin was talking about, we have, and Thea James, we have groups that meet together to be able to come up with plans so that we don't reinvent the wheel for our clients, we don't duplicate services, but we make sure that we have a wraparound type of a style that we address the risks that we know are there. So it's very helpful in downloading information, and our information in our particular database can be put into an Excel spreadsheet and passed through SPSS for our evaluations. So I'm going to show you a few of these screens from the system that we use. This is a software company that's in Menlo Park, which is part of the Silicon Valley in California. They have done a lot of hospital management databases, particularly in the work of diabetes. They're very familiar with public health. So if you want to design a database, it's incredibly helpful to do so with a partner in small business that understands public health issues. It's been extraordinary because of that understanding, I think, and then being able to troubleshoot with us. This is what our first screen looks like. So you log in, and because of HIPAA rules, everybody is given a password and only sees what they need to see. So an administrator is going to see something different than a case manager based on just what the minimal necessary thing that you need to be looking at is available to you. So we use the menu here in order to navigate through the site. So an administrator will have all these types of categories, whereas a case manager screen may have something different. So you can see here the ability to do some editing, and that's from the administrator standpoint. So this is what our colleagues at this question system had developed for themselves to be able to edit some of the things that weren't working out for us. And it is absolutely trial and error. The first year, there were a lot of changes that were made based on user friendliness. And everybody can access this section, which is the screening section. So the trauma registry, which records all the trauma patients that come in to our level one trauma center, this is downloaded right to the question database so that we get every morning an idea of who has come in from the night before. And they may not necessarily be admitted. They may have passed through the emergency department. As long as they were activated as a trauma patient, they are downloaded so that even if we missed them overnight in the emergency department, we know that they came in, and we can at least call them to see if they're interested in our services. And so this is uploaded on a daily basis, and then we have some of the main menu, like the screen census sites, to keep track of what the overall picture looks like. So this is really helpful because we only have 3 case managers in our program, and so we do miss people. I don't expect them to work 24/7, but I must say these guys are so amazing. I have seen them at 2 a.m. in the emergency department, but because they carry trauma pagers as well. But this will be recorded, and they've been great about managing this, so they'll mark this as a missed client. And they'll be able to make that phone call later to particularly so that we don't miss anybody ultimately. So this screen can be changed, so the status can be changed. And if you click on this, what would happen is you could say, okay, not missed anymore, but just refuse services. And about 13% of our potential clients do refuse our services. And then we have a list that can also filter for new cases so that the case managers don't have to constantly be in contact with each other. They know when another case manager has gone to the ward or gone down to the emergency department to see somebody so that they don't reinvent the wheel and they don't go back and see somebody who has already been seen. So the screening section will show users all the clients in the trauma log with stab wound, gunshot wounds, or blunt trauma of all ages. And then the case managers can manually enter a case as well, just in case we miss somebody, or sometimes we get referrals from the pediatricians that they'll potentially see in their outpatient clinic. So we can also manually enter that. And here's what the typical individual screening page looks like. So we'll have all the information that's just necessary. The trauma registry has all the other things in it, like injury severity score and so forth. And then sometimes it takes a little while for somebody to decide whether they want to be involved in the wraparound project, so we'll have a screening status as in progress. And then and if they were missed, what was the reason that they were missed? That they were only in the emergency department for 2 hours, or that they were missed because it was an unsafe environment for that particular case manager at the time based on friends that were in the room. So there are a variety of reasons. And then the reason that they were not enrolled is listed here as well, so we can save all this information and we know which case manager is working with this particular client. This is Mike Texada, and so we have their initials there. Then the participant table, so they switch over once they are enrolled in the wraparound project. Once they've been approached and accepted, they flip over into the participant information screen, and these are all blacked out because of confidentiality reasons, but they are automatically uploaded into our client registry. So there are two separate registries. There's the screening registry, and then there's the client registry. That's automatically uploaded once they enroll. And the intake form, so this is very important because it will give us an idea of specifics about that particular client. We write down typically not just their information, but a next of kin or somebody that's close to them, because it's not uncommon that their phone will go out of service, but we'll still be able to reach them because a mom or a girlfriend or a boyfriend will know where they are. And the follow-up tab is very important because it's such a dynamic process. So we'll be able to not only follow up for one of our ultimate outcomes, which is the potential of re-injury or not, but also things like how are we contacting this person and what is the contact information that we have. This is a really important slide, and it's the one that when I walk into the case manager's office is most typically up on their computers. So they'll do the needs assessment at the bedside typically, and that will be any of these that you see here, including court advocacy, family counseling, mental health, and then they have the opportunity to add in other needs. And they will either say that that is a need that's been identified, and the date that it was identified, and of course this is a mock slide, and the date that it was resolved. So obviously important. We want to know what are the needs that are most difficult for our clients to receive. Typically for us it is housing, and how long does it take us on average to get that particular need met for our clients. Another really tricky one is driver's licenses, because typically they can't read the test. The typical reason that they fail the driver's license is they can't read the test to be able to pass it. So we jump ahead sometimes and fail at getting them a driver's license. They have to go back to education before we can help them with that. And then the wraparound follow-up. So we have we close cases on a fairly regular basis, as you can imagine, after going on for about 6 years now. So we want to know what was the reason. Well, we've met at least 50% of the needs, and the client wishes at that point that to go ahead and go off on his or her own. They feel like they don't typically need us anymore. It happens most typically after about 7 or 8 months. We hold on to people for at least a six-month commitment, but we have some people with us for longer than 2 years. And there are other times that the client willingly dropped or we lost contact, and we want to know all those things, because we'll go back and people will come back into the fold after months or maybe even years, and we find later, oh yeah, yeah, that's the guy that we lost contact with back in 2008, and he's back again for some help, and we take him back in. And this is extremely helpful to understand the date and how long people are in our program. And then for participant need, as I mentioned before, this is the way it's strung along in our new mode that we have. The case managers just found it easier, and they redesigned the way they were looking at the needs assessment. So they decided that it was just easier for them to follow a line this way instead of down in the rows that you saw before. So it's just one example of the case managers really pushing for a change, and they'll call the software company themselves and say, hey, can you rearrange this? It's really awkward for me to enter it in a particular way. And then we upload our documents so we can create PDFs for institutional review board purposes. Of course, we have to get consent to be able to record this, and so we can add those documents in, and we have a research assistant who helps with our case managers for that. So this is another one of our case managers, Ruben Marquez, and he's entered this particular document or this consent form or letter of support. And we'll have that from court advocacy reasons, so we'll have a judge who will release a client for probation to the wraparound project to meet with us a particular amount of time. And so we'll have that uploaded in a PDF so that we can keep track of those documents easily. And then the calendars are very helpful because there are all sorts of interviews and appointments that clients need to make, and the case managers very typically shepherd them through those processes. So the review of the entry process, the registry itself is checked by a research assistant, so it's uploaded automatically by the system, but it's checked every day to make sure that that's accurate by one of our research assistants. And then the case managers check the screening on a daily basis. They've worked out their own sort of call schedule, they call it, for that. So there will be 3 days in a row that one particular case manager will be responsible for going to the screening, for doing the screening. If a client accepts, then that question database automatically transfers the file to participant, and then the case manager enters the intake assessment for participants and does the follow-up. It is a lot of work up front for the case managers, but now they say that it's a lot easier than keeping the paper files, and I think a lot of that, again, is because they have really taken ownership of the program itself. And with that, I will end. Thank you very much for your attention.